Jesus loves you. Please tell that to somebody. Smile. And if there's tears in their eyes, cry with them. Hallelujah. Cry with them. A burden shared is a burden halved. It's my privilege this morning to continue with what we've been speaking about for the last couple of weeks. To recap, if you haven't been here, if you've missed out, there's not much of it online. We've got huge, huge challenges with internet connectivity. So when the Holy Spirit reminds you, continue to pray for that, please. We're doing absolutely everything humanly possible to make it work. Now God needs to do the rest. So we apologize for those that are relying on it online. We actually want... Dis 'n goeie rede om dan nie by die TV te sit en kyk, maar kom kerk toe, dat jy die samesyn van die gelowiges saam met ons kan geniet. Halleluja. Amen. Is hy reg op die oomblik? Ja. Marlene, come and tell me. So, bless you. So, be there as it may. Just to recap, we ended off last week speaking about having a compassion for the lost, what it means to have your heart broken, and I shared my personal story with you guys. We also spoke about this being a house of prayer and different styles of worship and different genres of worship and the similarities between what you get in the world and what you get in the church today in terms of worship and what music seems to be like. And we were ministering last night. I had an opportunity last night to minister to some bikers at the VPC Joel, and this topic came up of music in church. And one of the statements that I made, and I touched base with Louis on it this morning, is that since when did worship become entertainment? Since when did worship become entertainment? So that's what we spoke about last week. And I'm just going to touch briefly. I want to kick off this morning by speaking a little bit about a compassion for the lost again and what it means. I'm just going to fly through these verses so we can get to the gist of what I believe is on God's heart for this morning. We spoke about a passion for the lost and compassion for the lost. And I'm going to just quote three scriptures quickly. The guys don't have to put them up for the sake of time, but you'll hear them and it will be available on the Real Life Ministries WhatsApp group afterwards for you to follow. So you don't have to worry about scribbling stuff down. You can just give God your undivided attention as he speaks to us this morning. Is that okay, church? In Matthew 9, verse 36, and Matthew 14, verse 14, and Mark 6, verse 34. It speaks about what happened when Jesus came and he encountered crowds of people. And we experience different things, and there's different words used to describe what he went through, and people speak about empathy and sympathy and compassion. And sympathy is like, oh, I'm sorry for you, you know. And I know that in some cultures, when you get hurt, they say, ish, sorry, ne? They apologize to you as if they've done it when you get hurt. And empathy has been described as if you don't just walk to someone and say, yo, I feel for you, my girl. I'm so sorry that you're married to Mozzie. Yo, that rocks a hand for me. That's sympathy. Empathy is where you take her by the hand and say, come along. You know, I know he's a handful, but all the best things in life cost more. So let me help you deal with him. Empathy is where you get in the person's shoes and you walk their walk. And I shared with you that song by Bride. It's one of my favorite heavy metal gospel bands. It says, look a man dead in the eye, see deep within his soul, walk a mile in his shoes, you'll never know what he knows. And that's empathy. And we see Jesus reacts like this when he sees people. And there's words here that the scripture uses, and it would help us understand what it means to have compassion for the lost. And in those verses, verse 9:36, it says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Say moved. For them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. The next verse, Matthew 14:14, it says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them and he healed the sick. Say healed. It's key words. And then the last one, Mark 6 and verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. So we see love, ladies and gentlemen, is not a feeling. There are emotions involved, but love is not a feeling. Love is a werkwoord. Is that die regte Afrikaans woord, julle? It's a verb. It means doing something. Oh, I love you. No. He'd done something. He was moved with compassion. He healed the sick. He taught them. He taught. So those were the, that was the outflow of his love. Hy het hulle nie net jammer gekry nie. Ai, shame, né? Julle hardnekkige sheeple. Because people are sheeple. Did you know that we're all sheeple? We're created to follow something or someone. Just, you know, I guarantee you that if we emptied this place out and let people come in little bit by little bit, and we all sat here and arranged, we all just sat here like this quietly, someone will come in by the door and they're like, oh, well, I guess that's what you do. And they'll come and they'll sit here quietly just like we're doing. Huh? And Jesus looked at them and he was moved because he realized these are people that need a shepherd. So the love for the lost, if you have love for the lost, you will do something about it. He had compassion for them. He was moved. He healed the sick and he taught them. We can clearly see that love involves an action. You can write this down. This will teach you lots in your life. People won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They're not worried how many chapters and verses you can quote and what you can explain to them about the eschatology of words and the etymology and the hermeneutics and the homiletics and all these fancy Christian things. If they don't know, you don't care about them. They won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Are you with me, church? All right, so that's about the lost. Now, let's get about love for each other. We're talking about a theme is house of prayer and having the things of God working here in our midst before we try and take it anywhere. So, I want you to look at your Bible in a different way when it comes to prayer. You will notice this. There is more teaching and requests about prayer for believers, Christians, than there is about the lost. How many of you didn't know that? Be honest. There's more teaching and requests about praying for mekaar as wat daar is vir die verlore siele wat besig is om hel toe te gaan. Have you ever wondered why? Why would God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, allow people to pen more about praying for each other than about the lost? Surely the lost are important. I mean, we sorted. We homeward bound. Our names are written in God's book of life. Hallelujah. Then the lost. I mean, they could die right now and they'd be in hell. But yet, the scripture teaches more about praying for each other as believers than it does about the lost. And this morning, we're going to find out why. And that's because we need to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ amongst each other in God's house of prayer before we have anything to export. Have you ever wondered why a product needs to be tested and developed before they take it to market, Leon? They must find out this has got to work. It's got to work. It's got to bring real change in people's lives. I can't go at an outreach or rally or wherever I am. And, you know, for a while I've had this habit of when I stop at traffic, when I'm on a motorcycle, it's a lot easier because you can like talk like Wes Kantor. And I do something with my body language. People think, okay, this oak wants to say something. They roll the window down and say, hey, have you heard the good news? They're like, what? I say, Jesus loves you and God's got a plan for your life. I'm doing it now more than ever before and it's fantastic. It's so awesome. I had the privilege the other day of it was Friday, speaking to a Muslim man and I just felt the compassion of Jesus for this oak. I no longer saw him as a camel jockey that wants to blow people up. I no longer saw him as the enemy. I realized the only difference between that man and me is the love of Jesus. Jesus Christ loves that man because he's still under the sway of the wicked one. Why is he any worse than I was when I was under the sway of the wicked one? And I took his hand. There's a way to shake a man's hand that shows you come in peace and humility. It's like this. Can you see? And I held his hand gently and I said, have you heard the good news? And he said, what? I said, Jesus Christ loves you. And God's got a plan for your life. You know that for an Islam person, they taught from the get-go that God hates you and is already completely angry with you. You're going to die anyway. The only way you can make it into heaven is to engage in jihad, holy war. Imagine being taught your whole life that God hates you. And then, jy moet Christene raakloop, Godse kinders, wat hom dis en dis respekteer oor dat hy 'n rok dra en 'n funny hat. How are we showing them that kind of love? How are we showing them that kind of love? So what does it help? I minister to these people and I don't care for them. I'm just a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass, a big mouth for the microphone. But when we can get love right this way, we've got something real that will make it attractive to the world. You don't even have to say, hey, the Bible says. They'll just be drawn to the depth of Jesus in you because of the depth of the emptiness in them. And they'll want some of what you've got, and it should be the love of Jesus. Church, how do we get there? By being a prayerful people. Making this a house of prayer. Making this a house of prayer. That's why there's more prayer in the scripture for the believers than there is for the unsaved. John 13 and verse 35, it says, the world will know that you are my Christians by the fact that you can talk in tongues. Handai, shandai, randai, you buy a bow tie, we all have some muay thai. No, the world will know that you are my believers by the fancy buildings that you build in his name with beautiful illuminated crosses at night. The world will know that you are my believers by the fact that you wear a sign that says, die Himmel bestormers. Hallelujah. No. The world will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have one for another. Gisterand voer ek 'n gesprek met a guy that carries a secular patch. It means, secular just means it's not in the scripture. Okay. It doesn't mean duivels kinders. Okay. And for Afrikaans speaking, it's nie circular. Okay. It's secular. It means it's not of the scripture. He wants to know about me. He wants to know about me. He says, Mozzie, I've been wanting to ask you this for a long time. This is late at night. We're ministering. Why you guys fight so much amongst each other? He says, you're supposed to be examples to us. And the yokes are fighting like that. I'm like, my bro, I don't really have an answer, but I think it's pride and each person wanting to do their own thing. I said, but you know what? It wasn't any different in Jesus' day. Jesus also had to deal with these people fighting amongst each other. The best we can do is just keep our eyes on Jesus and just keep, you know, here's this guy wanting to know by die kerkmense hoekom ons so onder mekaar beklei. And the thing about worship, I had a conversation with somebody last night as well, like I said, about this worship thing. Since when did worship become entertainment? So the world is watching us, people. We need the love of God in our lives. Consider Jesus' prayer in the garden. This is before he's arrested. In John 17 and verse 9, he says, Jesus praying to the Father, he says, I pray for them. Who's them? He's speaking about us, the people that God entrusted to him. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus says, I pray for them. Clearly, I pray for them, Lord. And in verse 20 to 21 of John 17, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. In other words, us today. We believe today because of the words of the apostles that God raised up and sent, etc., etc., and the church of Jesus grew. There Jesus saying, I'm praying for them. So today Jesus is still praying for the ones that will come to know him through the preaching of his message. And he says this, I want to ask this question that it's a sobering thought. Verse 21, he prays and he says, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So Jesus is praying there for unity. Church, is it possible that this is the only prayer of Jesus that has not been answered? Jesus prays for unity amongst these people. En hier sit ons in kerke beklei tussen mekaar. Oor ledetalle en wyke en areas en doctrines en teachings en dress styles en worship times en days on which to worship. Ag my magtig man. Seriously, is this possibly the only prayer of Jesus Christ that has not been answered yet? Where he says, Father, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one. People ask me, hoekom is daar soveel verdeeldheid in die kerke? I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I submit to you that the average congregant, en nie julle nie, want julle is awesome verby, maar mense in ander kerke, hier wys ek vinger nou vir ander gemeentes. The average congregant is consumer-minded. You're consumer-minded. So a consumer enjoys a certain packet of chips. If you don't like it anymore, you just get another one. You go to a certain place to get what you used to, you don't get it anymore, you just go to the next place to get it. It's consumer-minded because you're a consumer. And the average God-fearing, loving, caring, gentle, humble pastor like myself. You're supposed to laugh hard. The average, love gives the benefit of the doubt. So let's give the benefit of the doubt that that leader of that fellowship is a man after God's heart. That person is family-minded. There's the difference. The average congregant is consumer-minded, and the average pastor is family-minded. Do whatever it takes to keep the family together. But a consumer-minded, dit werk nie vir my nie, cheers. Ek loop verder en kry vir my iets anders. Maybe that's why there's so much unity, division in the body of Christ, right? The other reason is also because the devil is the devil, and he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Is everybody still with me this morning? All right. So what if our prayers, we speak about God's house of prayer, what if our prayers are centered too much around ourselves? And I'm an expert at this. I'm an expert. Okay? And I'm a work of grace that God is busy working on, because I usually pray for me, myself, and I. And if I've got any time left, well, then I'll think of you, Oaks. Julle hardnekkige mense. Come on, I'm joking now, man. Don't go and loop soek 'n ander kerk vir jou because I disrespected you this morning. You know, what if our prayers are too much about ourselves? And it's okay to think of and pray for yourselves. But here's the kingdom principle. The scripture says in the book of Philippians, don't look out only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. So it's okay to look out for yourself. Are you with me, church? Because you can only minister from a point of overflow. I can't give you something, Eugene, that I don't have. Ek moet dit eers hê, as jy met my. I got to have the love of Christ, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, before I can give it to somebody else. But what if our prayers are too much centered around ourselves? Now you're going to see something that's amazing in Scripture. All of Scripture is amazing. Even the punctuation is amazing. Like, wow, I just love the Word of God. What if our prayers are too much centered around ourselves? How many of you know of Uncle Job in the Bible? Yup. Yeah. Okay. Theologians guesstimate that that is probably the oldest book in the Bible, because the Bible that we have today between Genesis and Maps, the layout of the books is not chronological. You do get chronological Bibles, and they're great to read. But Job is guesstimated as being the oldest book in the Bible. If you don't know the story of Job, he was a multi-millionaire, extremely rich man. And then one day, the devil came to God and said, I'm going to show you. Job just worships you because it's going so good with him. I mean, he's got it all. And God says, really? Okay, have at it. Have a go at him, and then we'll see. So the devil gets a few things right, and Job still praises God. And then the devil comes back and says, okay. But if you let me do this, if you let me attack his body, health, etc., destroy his loved ones, then we'll see. So Job, in one day, everything gets stripped from him. Everything that is valuable and precious to Job, gone in one day. All his loved ones, all his possessions, multimillionaire, that's it, done, finished. And he still does not turn his back on God. And right then you see Job's friends come along, and some of them are just, they have some very, very good advice, but very little godly counsel. How many of you know what we need? We don't need good advice, Yella. We need godly counsel. There's a huge difference. Okay. So most of them had good advice, but little godly counsel. And in the end, this happens to Job. Wow. Job 42 and verse 10, it says, and the Lord restored, Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord God gave Job twice as much as he had before. I don't know about you, Oaks, but if the devil came and stole and killed and destroyed everything that was valuable to me in one day, I'd be on my knees like, but God, why? My Here, hoekom? It will be about myself, but why, Lord? What did I do wrong? I proclaimed your name. I healed this, well, I didn't heal the sick, but I prayed and people got healed. And I've lost count of how many thousands I've led to the Lord in the years I've been. I've done all of these things, Lord. That's where I would be. No, Job prays for his friends. The focus is of himself, someone else, and God restores his losses. And he had from a multi-million, he went a multi-billion, trillion, gazillion, jillion, not even Jacob Zuma can read the amount of how rich Job was. And it describes his family and his daughters afterwards, how beautiful they were. So I wonder what the daughters looked like that were killed. I'm just saying. That's what the Bible says. Don't knock me. I don't know. Maybe they weren't that attractive. I don't know. But it describes what Job had afterwards when he prayed for his friends. So mense, who like, well, vertel my bietjie van jou gebedslewe. Lord, I want this. This is how I want you to give it. And why didn't it come yesterday? And we see this pattern. Jesus does pray for himself too. He said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, Lord, let your will be done. He prayed for himself too, but he also prayed for others. So love for one another. That's just the introduction to this morning's message. Can I start preaching now, church? We're going for 27 minutes. It's only 10 o'clock. Can we go on just a little bit more, please? Please? I'll Okay, I'll do this, because you must be left wanting more instead of wishing that I'd stopped 20 minutes ago. But this love for one another, love for one another. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture and unpack it a little bit, and then call it quits for today so that we can go home and meditate on this. Some folks are going on a economy run to Red Star Raceway, so as moet fietsen wat gerei moet word, julle. Okay, I'm going to read this passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 16. It's from the New King James. Are you ready, church? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Now that passage of Scripture, those few verses, I could hoy up a 6-month message just like that, no problem. But we're going to focus on something personal this morning. I want to be real with you because we're family, yeah. Is that okay, church? So that thing stuck out to me, bless those who persecute you. On the 18th of July this year, I entered an entry into my prayer journal and I prayed this, because you must have a prayer journal, see? We'll get to that later, because you've got to keep record of what God is saying to you. Some of you don't even know what I spoke about last week or 2 weeks. You could say the house of prayer. I'll say, okay, but the specifics? So what about when God speaks? You need to keep record of it. So I've got a prayer journal. You must have a prayer journal. Write down what you feel God is telling you. I made an entry on the 18th of July, 2024, and I said, Lord, I actually want to quote it to you. I don't want to miss it, because this wasn't a mozzie idea. This is from the Lord. And this is what I got in my prayer journal. Lord, I ask that instead of anger and hurt arising in my heart when I'm reviled and verbally attacked and falsely accused, let true Christ-like love well up within me. Sounds noble, doesn't it? Lord, when I'm attacked, when I'm accused, when I'm falsely, the people just don't get me. Instead of me saying, what? Let ek jou vertel, you little so-and-so. No, Lord, let Christ-like love well up within me. And that was the entry on Thursday, the 18th of July. Friday, the 19th of July, my personal assistant, the church's administrator, Madeleine. We're chatting about church stuff and business and administration and finances. And she shared something with me about something that somebody said, an allegation that was made about the management of the church's finances. And how many of you know that if you fall off your motorbike or your skateboard or your rocking chair or whatever, and you get an injury, that like injury is like the most recent one. It's like kind of almost always the most hurtful one, isn't it? You can't remember what. That was the most hurtful thing that I could ever remember happening to me in my Christian walk. I was gutted. It was so painful. I just, you can ask Madeleine, I pushed the chair back like this was on the chair, and I had to stand up and just try and regain my composure. That's how hurtful this was. And she wanted to tell me who it was. I said, Madeleine, I don't want to know. I don't want to know the person. I don't need to know the name because I know it's going to cloud my judgment. I don't want to know. And it was hurtful. And then I remembered what I'd entered into my prayer journal. Lord, when I'm falsely accused, when I'm reviled, when I'm attacked, what did they do with Jesus? He sits with the tax collectors and they tell him, you're hanging with sinners. He hangs with the whores and prostitutes. He eats with them. They accused him of whatever he did. They found fault with whatever he did. And he is perfection personified. But not van ons. And I had to learn, bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Folks, if we can't get that right, yeah, what do we have to say to the world? What do we have to say to the world? That doesn't mean that you like everybody. Hello? Be honest with yourself. There's times that you don't like yourself, Stephen. And there's times that you think you're great. You look at the mirror and like, kiss me quick before I kiss myself. But there's times we don't like ourselves. It is silly and childish. I submit to you in humility. It is silly and childish to think that everybody is going to like you all the time. I know that you think that when you have flatulence, it smells like Chanel number 5. Maar jy is nie so oulik nie, julle. Ons is nie so oulik nie. Does it make sense to what I'm saying to anybody? So if you don't like yourself, how do you think that you're going to get along with everybody all the time? It's a fallacy about church life. It's a fallacy thinking that everybody loves everybody all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Here. Near. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of another. What does that mean? There's going to be this grinding. We a friction. There's it, Annie. Heat. Disappointment. Hurtful, painful, not understanding, but we've got to stick through it. Because if we do that and keep our eyes on Jesus till the end, we'll become like Him. Yalla. Does that make sense to anybody this morning? And how we do that when we become a house of prayer, when we become a people of prayer, where we can pray through those things. Yeah, I said this recently at the National Rally. Was it the National Rally? I don't know. Anyway, I said it. If I said it, it's worth repeating. If you stop going to a church because the pastor hurt you, you weren't there for Jesus in the first place. If you stop going to church because of the sign outside, you weren't there for Jesus in the first place. If you stop going to church because of the type of vehicles that are outside, whether they're cars or bikes, you weren't there for Jesus in the first place. You know? You had some ulterior motives. If you're at a place, make sure you're at the place where God has planted you. And I encourage people, they come with all the checklists about wat soek ek in 'n gemeente? I said it's great, it's fine, you know. But rather, when you're seeking a spiritual home, go to the Lord and say, Lord, send me to the place where I can be the biggest blessing for you and I can be most effective in your kingdom. Don't go there because, yeah, Pastor Mozzie, die en die, or die afstand is lekker, and ek kan in plakkies en kortbroek aankom with toe jam still between my toe en niemand gaan my skeef kyk nie. Or jy weet, die musiek is lekker en die band kan. Those are nice to haves. But how different it would be if you go, even if it's a church that's the furthest from you, or you don't really see eye to eye with this oak with a microphone there. It's like, you know. It must be scriptural what is taught. You understand what I'm saying? But guys, When we do that, we can be effective, and this can be an effective house of prayer when we learn to love each other like this. Folks, if we could just apply those verses, Romans 12:9-16, just those verses, if we could start living it out like that song sings, can we be a choir that lives that message out long after we leave the building? That's God's heart. You know, as messed up as the church is, and I said to somebody last night, I said, yes, I know. The church is broken and messed up, and there's all these things wrong with her. And being the church, you know, it's a type of bride. We're not the bride of Christ. That's the new city of Jerusalem. But we are a type of bride. It's still God's chosen vessel. It's still the instrument that God wants to use to usher in his kingdom, Sharon, mark it sin. With all our issues and everything that we get wrong, there is no plan B from God. Folks, we have to get it right. We have to get it right. We have to. We have to. And the world needs it. The world needs it. The world needs to see that we're doing this and getting it right. So continue steadfastly in prayer. Bless those who persecute you. And then the Holy Spirit gave me this verse of Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Why didn't I want to know the person's name? And that's not the first time. People have accused me of all crazy stuff. It's like, yeah, whatever, you know. Guard my heart. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. So the devil doesn't come smuggle with you and getting you thinking hoho gedachtes aangaande these things. I just want to keep going on, but we can't. We'll pick up again next week. Just to whet your appetite, next week we'll start looking at our lives as our personal houses of God's prayer again, and what we need to do some personal housekeeping. Personal housekeeping. It's very real to me, because when you sell your home, you start seeing things that are wrong that you've never noticed before, especially when you've been there 20 years. Because you go house hunting and you see all the things that are like skeef in other people's homes, and you go to your house and it's like, ek moet die regmaak, ek moet die regmaak. So it's real to me. Personal housekeeping. What do I need to fix here and here? What I need to submit to God? God, there's attitudes here that are not right. Give me a checkup from the neck up and mark my rach. Mark my rach. Personal housekeeping. Okay. And then we're going to speak about how the fear of the Lord is a prerequisite to answered prayer. Are you excited to next week? For next week. That's who we'll get there. We'll get there. But for now, let's just look at that. Let's just say, right, Lord, well, let's recap what we spoke about. We spoke about love for the lost, but love for each other. How prayer in the Bible is most of the time for the church. And how Job's losses were restored when he prayed for his friends. And how we must bless those who persecute us. And to do that, we need to pray for each other. So church, if you're sitting here this morning and you know, I want to be practical this morning and land this thing. Say, if you know I know, the Holy Spirit is showing me there's people here, there's a hurt. It's a real hurt. Now sometimes there's perceived hurt. Jy dink jy seer gemaak. Maar eintlik het die persoon niks gedoen nie. Jy was net op 'n slegte plek. Your head was full of muismus. Is that a flare word? A swear word? Muisneste, sorry. Ek's 'n Engelsman, hè. You were just in a car. I know you got up on the wrong side of the bed, or your team didn't win the night before, and you just, in fact, folks, almost all broken relationships is as a result of one little thing called misunderstanding. Oh, so that's what you meant. Yeah. Oh, but I understood it like this because of. Most broken relationships is because of a little thing called misunderstanding. I know these people here. So you have perceived hurts and then real hurts. Now, for those people who are sitting with a real hurt, the person really, really done something that would not be pleasing to God and is not pleasing to God. If that's you, would you allow the Holy Spirit to touch your heart this morning? Right there where you're seated, I want you to think of that person. And in case they hear, don't say their name out aloud. But if they are, God will lead you how to fix that with that person. Right there where you're seated, just ask the Holy Spirit to bring healing and comfort to you. You can pray along these lines, and this is probably the most important time of the service, because this is where we apply what we've just heard. This is where we do what we've just heard and become a doer of the word. And with that hurt in your life, you can pray like this. You don't have to pray word for word after me. I just want to help us a little bit this morning and say, God, thank you that you forgave me, and Jesus, you paid a price for me to forgive me of my sins. And I don't know how to deal with this hurt, Lord. It's when I still think of it brings a tear to my eye and it's painful. And I want to clap thy persoons of paint off. But Lord, you have forgiven me. And I want to forgive that person. So I forgive, and you put that person's name in your prayer. I release them to you right now. Father, as gracious as you have been with me, be gracious to them too. I release them, Lord. I set them free. And I ask that you set my mind free. And in time, help me to recover from that pain. Help me to recover from that hurt, Lord. Heal my hurt and heal my mind. In Jesus' name, Lord, as you set me free this morning, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then, Father, I've prayed for others. I pray for myself now, Lord. I ask that you just help me be more like Jesus. Help me. James 1:19 says, beloved brethren, I pray that you be slow to speak, swift to hear and slow to anger. Help me to slow down my anger and to speed up my listening ability. Lord, help me to listen with a goal of understanding, not listening to argue back or to win the argument. Help me to listen to understand, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help me to be more patient and compassionate with people and understanding, Lord. Lord, help me, Lord. You place a guard in front of my mouth. Psalm 141 speaks about having a guard. Place a guard in front of my mouth, Lord. Let me think before I speak and just listen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to come against the challenge that people have with unemployment this morning. My brother, my sister, I don't know why that God hasn't entrusted you with a vocation that is productive yet, that's economically viable for you. But I know that God has a plan. It's so easy to say that. But I want to speak into that this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Psalm 37 from verse 23, it says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, because the Lord upholds him with his hand. And verse 25 says, I was young, and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And Lord, as your righteous people, I thank you, Lord God, that you provide gainful employment to your people that have a challenge in this area in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that now I just sense, you know, you when you're asking for employment, don't come to God with an idol in your heart and insist on a particular job spec. Trust God to take the first opportunity that he gives you. Remain faithful with that, and then he will give you the desires of your heart. If you have a desire, you're only putting out your CV because you want to be a jet pilot of an F-35 fighter plane, then that's fine. But if there's no opportunities for you, if there are no planes available for you, then take the gardening job that God gives you. And if you're faithful, you might end up doing the garden of a guy that owns an airport, and then he'll give you your job as an F-35 fighter pilot, if that's making sense to somebody. And I just speak that over people's lives right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that they trust you. I thank you that this unemployment thing will come to an end in the name of Jesus Christ. That it won't just be a job that pays the bills, but it'll be a vocation where people can make a positive impact on the lives of others. And at the same time, they'll be able to earn revenue for their family. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, I speak peace into every anxious heart this morning. The peace of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Lord, that there's no anxiety, that it goes, that it leaves every heart and every mind now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I come against fear in people's hearts, Lord God. Just fear in general, Father. Just fear in general. I just sense that somebody is... You're struggling with fear and you don't even know what it is. There's just this thing that you're afraid. It's not of a person. It's not of a place. You don't know. I'll just speak 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 over your life. And it says, God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Holy Spirit of power, the Holy Spirit of love, and the Holy Spirit of a sound mind. And we command that fear to go in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you, spirit of fear. You loose your stronghold over that life right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that fear gets replaced with faith, because fear is false evidence appearing real. I just sense the devil wants to say boo and give you a fright. You tell him to get behind you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen and amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May God lift up his countenance over you and be gracious to you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love and appreciate you. Have a Jesus-filled week. And show random acts of kindness to people. Do it to them before they do it to you. We love you guys dearly. Know that you dearly loved and fervently prayed for each and every single one of you. Take care, folks. Cheers. Something.